So this morning we begin a new sermon series entitled Pressure Points, God's Plan When the Pressure's On. And when we think about pressure points or relieving pressure, the first thing we think of is probably on some along the lines of peace. That to relieve pressure, we just want peace, we want relief, we want release, we want the absence of pain and stress and tension. But I began to think about this as I was preparing the series, and I'm wondering if that's not really what relief from pressure is. What if this isn't it at all? What if this is the picture of peace? What if it's that? What if it's raging waterfalls and lightning and a storm and a dark sky? What if that's peace? Because if we zoom in to the next slide, we see a bird, and you can't really tell out very well, but it's a bird who is in a little space protected from the storm. What if that's peace? What if it's the bird in the middle of the storm? Because I believe that God has a totally different view of peace and pressure. See, we believe that when God comes into our life, that He's going to eliminate all of the pressure. God never promises to eliminate or the absence of pressure. God promises peace, not the absence of pressure. And so when we look at verse 10 of this passage that Dave just shared, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. What that's saying is Paul realized that there was some suffering, there was something that had to come and lay on his life and pressure in his life in order for him to demonstrate Jesus. Maybe we've been working off of the wrong definition of peace because we believe that and we know that pressure isn't going away. It's not about praying your pressures away. Pressure's never going to go away. You're always going to have pressure, but maybe pressure might not be so bad. I wonder if you would agree with me that pressure is really the only way we can identify whether or not we have true peace. Because, see, the bird flew into that storm, and it was able to find the peace that it desired even in the midst of the storm. Pressure comes to show you the power that is available to you in the midst of all that was going on. This bird flew into the situation and had safety. We need not to retreat from pressure. I believe that God would want us to pursue that pressure. Pursue the pressure. And I think that's really what Paul is describing in this verse. And it was kind of it's a complicated verse. I feel like I'm a little hot. Can we turn me down a little bit? All right. This idea that Paul is saying that his critics, he recognizes that his critics are accusing him of being weak and unimpressive and common and not intelligent. He recognizes that he's suffering for the cause of Christ. But what he understands is that his weakness and his unimpressiveness is really to demonstrate Jesus. He talks about being just a clay vessel. But this treasure that he houses, this truth that he houses is in this clay jar. Paul admits that he's weak. I mean, this is like the Paul. And I wonder why we as the church, we as people have such a hard time admitting that we're weak sometimes. Why we have such a difficult time realizing that it's okay to admit that we're weak. Because Paul knew that in his weakness, it was enabling him to be most powerful, for the power of God to be released in his life. He realized that he was just a pot. He wasn't the power. See, church, what we need to realize is that when we recognize that we're not as powerful as we think we ought to be, that's not fatal to our decisions. It's not fatal to our lives. It's actually essential. If God's power is going to be released in our life, we need to recognize our own weakness. Paul wrestled as much as anybody with the temptation to lose heart. He realized that he was weak. He realized that he was having difficulty. He realized that he was suffering for Christ. And he wanted other people to be encouraged and not to give up or not to abandon the calling, to not trust in the vessel, to not lose heart. In this passage that Dave read, the essence of this series is found. That when we think about our lives, we think about what we're going through, we realize that there is pressure in our life. We realize that there are difficult things we're dealing with. And so was true in Paul's life. And Paul says that he was pressed on every side, but was not crushed. He was squeezed, but he wasn't squashed. In every way, in every occasion, he says he was afflicted. He was being harassed and treated with hostility, but he wasn't crushed. He wasn't enslaved. When you can't find a way out, Jesus finds a way in. I don't know if any of you ever feel squeezed. How many of you feel oftentimes pressed on every side? But the truth of the Bible says is that you will not be crushed. How many of us have feel perplexed? We have this mental pressure. We're at our wit's end. We can find no path forward. There's no options to turn. There's just simple resources are exhausted. But the Bible says that you will be perplexed, but you will not be in despair. You will not lose. That's what despair is. It means that you lose. You're utterly hopeless. You're destined. You give up. God says, listen, you're going to be perplexed, but you will not end up in despair. That's the promises of the Bible. You can be pressed on every side, but not crushed. You can be perplexed, but not in despair. You can be persecuted, but not abandoned. I don't know all of your stories. Maybe some of you are struggling with persecution. You're struggling with being chased down and harassed and hunted by men, But God says in His Word that you will not be abandoned, you will not be deserted, that you will not be left in defeat or helplessness in a hostile circumstance. That's the truth of the Bible. You can be pressed on every side, but not crushed. You can be perplexed, but not in despair. You can be persecuted, but not abandoned. You will be struck down, but you will not be destroyed. Church, so often we are struck, we're knocked down, we're thrown down, but the truth of the Word says that we will not be destroyed. I remember one pastor saying, listen, if it was going to kill you, it would have killed you by now. Like if it was going to get you, it would have got you by now. If you're still fighting, if you're still here, you're not disqualified, you're not ruined. Church, in some ways, I want to start the sermon over and really just clearly demonstrate to you that I feel that God wants us to talk about the pressures in our life. Every one of us has pressures. And it's what are we going to do with that pressure? See, this bar right here represents our life, right? And it's like, okay, listen, if you all stay away from me and I stay away from you, I can pretty much handle the pressure in my life, right? Like, okay, this is the bar. Okay, good. So like, okay, no one's bothering me. I don't have any weight on my life. I can do this, right? I can get underneath the bar of life and I can think about it for a second. And it's like, okay, good. I can do this. I can do this. Even me with twig arms, I can do that. Right? You're thinking, Pastor, you brought the wrong analogy because you're not very big. But here's the thing, friends. We can't control life. We want to. But guess what happens? Life begins to put more pressure on us. Life comes at us. We can't control it. And so we get some weight on there, and it's like, well, you know, now I'm married. What? Are you trying to say marriage isn't work? You're lying. Marriage is work, isn't it? Honey, isn't it work? Being married to me is work. Right? But then you have kids, right? That's pressure. It's like, wait a minute, I like being single and not married, not having no kids. So now I've got a wife and I've got kids, and now I've got student loans and I got bills and I'm adulting, right? Whatever that means. And so it's like, all right, I can do this. Hold on. All right. Hold on. Now, all I got to do is make it look good, right? Because it's Sunday morning. I just gotta get this up on Sunday morning. All right. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going out with my friends on Friday night, so I got to make that look good. Right? I can handle this. All right. This isn't bad. Okay. All right. Wow. Is that all, Lord? Is that it? No. The Bible says in John 16, 13. What does the Bible say in John 16, 13? Listen to this. So I can do life by myself. And I can handle a little bit of pressure. Like, I can do, okay, I'm married, I have kids, I got some bills, I can do that. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to come to Jesus, and it's supposed to make everything better. And he's saying, no. You're going to have many trials, many sorrows, many trials, and many sorrows. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm divorced? Now my kids aren't acting the way that I want them to? Wait a minute. Now I lost my job? Wait a minute. I could handle it before. Now you're saying that I have to handle more? How do I do that? I mean, the rest of the verse says this. It says, you're going to face many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I mean, that's not helping me when I'm under the weight. I'm under this weight and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now there's more trials and there's more sorrows. There's more trials and there's more sorrows, and I have a concussion now. All right, wait a minute. Can I do this? Wait a minute. Let's think about this. I'm not really liking this weight. I'm not liking this. I don't like that. This is not comfortable anymore. Wait a minute. I don't really like this. What am I going to do? Church, the weight doesn't stop. Just because you're uncomfortable, just because you come to church on Sundays, it keeps coming. And what we do is we say, all right, it's Monday. I just got to gut this out. Can I do it? I don't know. Why do you guys laugh every time I get down? All right, all I got to do, I don't care who I hurt. I don't care if I hurt myself. I've got to get this. I got to get through this week. I don't care if I have to cheat. I don't care if I have to steal. I don't care. I got to do this. And what happens is, we have to just take everything. We get ugly. We get tired. We get cranky. We got to push. And we're worth nothing. What are we going to do? Because the weight's still going to keep coming. I can't stop it. The weight's coming. It's not about gutting it out, church.
There is a source of power. It's not about lifting on your own. Because see, even if I wanted to try to lift that again as an illustration, I wouldn't be able to. You get vulnerable. When I'm trying to lift it myself, the world and life doesn't care how hard I struggled last week with the last weight. And it says, listen, we're putting more on you. Now what are you going to do? Whoa, hey, hey. We're looking at the bar of life. We know how much we've already struggled. And some of us have just decided not even to try to lift it. We're just going to give up and quit. Because we know we have two options. Either I'm going to get under the bar of life, and I got two options now. I got either I can say, forget it, I'm not doing this too heavy, or I could just dump it. You ever known someone who's dumped the weight? They just get stuck and then just drop it. And we opt out, and we quit. And what we start saying is, I would rather. A sentence that starts with, I'd rather, that means you're going to go to some destructive alternative rather than lift the bar of life. I just rather drink. I just rather do pills. I just rather have an extra relationship. I just rather. See, people often say, you know, I'm about to lose it. I'm at the wit's end. And what they're saying is that I'm about to just give it away. Whatever it is I have, whatever it is I think I can't handle, I'm just going to say, you know what? Forget it. I'm giving it away. I'm destroying it all. And we've met people. Maybe we are those people that just gave away our lives and destroyed them. See, church, if you're sleeping, you want to wake up. It's not what you're handling that's the problem. It's not actually the weight in your life that's the problem. Listen, some of us have things going on. Some of us have more pressures than others. And listen, we know your story is your story, and nobody's criticizing your story. Nobody's saying you're minimizing your story. It's your story. You have weights. Maybe you're dealing with this or this or this or this. Listen, it's not about what you're handling. The answer and the question is, how are you handling it? Have you forgotten about the source? Have you forgotten that God loves you and He wants to help you lift it? So many of us go through life sweating, huffing, and puffing, not utilizing the source. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Do you believe that? And here's the thing, church. You gotta believe it not here. You gotta believe it down here, right? Because you're gonna choose to try to go for this. You're gonna have to lift it. You're not gonna give up. You gotta realize that you have another person who can help you. Your pressure is trying to push you towards your higher power. Amen? That's trying to push you towards the Lord. Peace is not found in something external. It's found in someone who is internal. Amen? And so I've asked some helpers to come. That's why they were eagerly running up here. Because they just, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they have an insurance policy on me here at the church or whatever. And they don't want to pay out. So come on. Here's the thing. The Bible says that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I would say that God is in the past. God's love is what is our foundation. Jesus is in our present. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us in our future. I want you to know, if you have said yes to Jesus, you have this in your life. That's the reality. That's the truth. And so when we get under the bar of life, and so now I think, okay, now I'm not going to do this. I got to do this. I know my weight. I know I got to do this. I got to do this. This is on me, but I got help. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Down. You guys are helping me, right? Pick it up. Why are you not picking it up? Okay, we didn't go over the script. Let's try that again. Because my next line is I'm supposed to say it was easier than even having the bar in my life. Ready? Let's try that again. You guys are ruining the sermon here. Give me a little muscle, okay? One, two, three. We're going to do this a couple times. Up. Up. Okay. All right. Thank you. It'll be another 2 or 3 years until I do this illustration again. I'll get a little stronger. But thank you, guys. Even though the illustration didn't work out just right. Church, the truth is, when we cry out to God, He makes what is heavy light in our life. He's the helper. Church, one of the most misunderstood and misused and misrepresented scriptures in all of the Bible is found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Maybe you've heard this before. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Have you ever heard that before? And we look at the bar of life and we say, that's not fair. That doesn't make sense to me. I can't physically do that myself. And I believe that God is writing Himself into this scripture. He will also provide a way out so that you... Come back. Okay. He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God is your helper. And so oftentimes we look at our life and we say, I can't do that. And what God is saying is, listen, I know you can't do that. I want to help you. That sometimes in your life, I'm putting something in your life that wants you to grow in dependence on me. If you could lift everything yourself, you wouldn't need the Lord. Amen? What can you and God handle together? Amen? That's the truth. That's the truth. Let me just bring this in for a landing. Verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." What the truth is that even though on the outside the pressure looks like it's too much, when we are in tune with the Father, when we have the strength of the Son, and we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we are being renewed on the inside. And so no matter what the weight on the outside is, we are being strengthened on the inside. A life with Christ doesn't get easier. It just makes you stronger. And verse 17 tells us that Paul learned that it was only under pressure that the glory of God and the strength of God was released in his life. He says, talks about this light momentary affliction are producing an eternal weight in glory. He realizes that. And so, church, instead of trying to figure out how to lighten your load and how to opt out of things and how to retreat in life, my challenge over the next couple of weeks is this idea of pursuing the pressure, not retreating from it. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but victors don't retreat. People that are victorious don't retreat. We advance. And we don't advance alone. We go with Jesus and He brings the victory. Amen? So in your relationships, you're not running away or giving up. You're pursuing the pressure. You're taking steps towards health and reconciliation. In your decisions, you're not staying undecided. You're pursuing the pressure. You're bringing the decision before the Lord and deciding boldly. Your diagnosis, you're not allowing it to go untreated. You're pursuing the pressure. You're taking the counsel of man before the great physician, and you're going to battle to defeat the disease. Amen? In your failures, you're not going to stay down. You're going to pursue the pressure. You're going to fail forward. You know, experts have failed more than everyone else. Do you believe that? Your addictions, not overcome again. You're going to pursue the pressure. You're going to be honest. You're going to find someone who can be Jesus with skin on, and you're going to go together one day at a time. Life. You're not going to give up. You're going to pursue the pressure. And you're going to ask Jesus for a spot. That's what those boys were doing for me. They were spotting me. Don't retreat. Don't quit. Don't give up. Continue to lift. Allow the weight to be shared and God to begin lifting with you. So my final story is about a donkey. I know I look like a donkey up here, but so there was this farmer who had an old, feeble donkey. And one day the donkey wandered and fell into a hole. And the donkey was whining and crying, and the farmer had no idea how to get the donkey out. And he was so perplexed, he just decided, you know what? There's no use. Let's just bury the donkey alive. And so he gets the neighbors and they start getting shovels and they begin to throw and heap the dirt on the donkey. But the donkey made some realization. He said when he noticed it, he said, huh? When he noticed that when the dirt fell on his back, if he just shook it off, it actually went to the bottom of the hole. And they kept shoveling. He kept shaking. And he'd take one step higher, and one step higher, and one step higher, until he walked out of the hole. Church, what if that's actually what we're called to do with depression? Oftentimes we feel like we're getting buried alive, and the devil is doing a great job of shoveling, throwing shade. Learn to shake it off. Take a step up. Allow the pressure to be lifted as a stepping stone in your life. Friends, I pray that the message has come through today. I hope you see the truth in the gimmick. Don't get stuck on the gimmick. It never goes as I dreamed about it going. But I want you to know that we all have pressure. But God wants to lift it with you. We're going to ask the worship team to come back, and they're going to close out the service with us. And as they come, I want to encourage you a couple of things. Number one, if you're here today and you have never met the Helper, you don't know who Jesus is, I want to tell you about Him a little bit. You saw it in the baptisms. You've heard it a little bit in the sermon. But let me be very clear. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He is our rescuer and our leader. And what we realize about Jesus is that, first and foremost, that we need to be sorry for the things that we've done wrong. We break down a relationship with Jesus into four words here at Northway. The first word is sorry. We recognize that we all have messed up. We all have something that we've done that has been wrong in our life. Can I get an amen? So we've all messed up. We all have things in our life that we're not proud of. And the Bible calls those things sin. And we first and foremost need to recognize that we're sinners and we need a Savior. So we're sorry for the things that we've done wrong. Thank you. We recognize and we say thank you to Jesus for dying on the cross for us. We recognize that our sinfulness needed to be paid for, and Jesus Christ came to pay for our sin. And so we say, sorry for our sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And so now we're forgiven. We don't no longer responsible for our sin and our shame and our guilt, but now we don't know how to live. And so we say, sorry, thank you. And then we say, please, please come into my life and make me new. Make me trust you with the weight of my life. I've been trying to lift this by myself my entire life. And I recognize that in lifting it, I've made mistakes. I've messed up. I've hurt people. I've hurt myself. That's not a good strategy to go at it alone. And so I'm sorry for doing that, Lord. Thank you for providing a helper that helps me lift. Now, please, can we go together? Do I dare ask the boys to come back up one more time? Come one more time, guys. So can I go together, right? So, Lord, I've tried to lift it myself. Oh, I'm going to hit my head again. So I've tried to lift it myself. I've tried to lift it myself. Lord, I'm sorry for trying to lift it myself. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and giving me three big helpers. Please help me lift this. One, two, three. That's it. That's a relationship with Jesus. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we recognize today that we have messed up sometimes. We recognize that we need help. We recognize that in and of ourselves, we're not going to be able to lift life. So God, today's not about me. It's not about some silly weight gimmick. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And so God, today, would you please help all of us recognize our need for you. We need you, Lord. I pray that throughout this whole sanctuary, Lord, that there would be many of us that are going to commit to letting you lift. So I wonder today if we could just all close our eyes and bow our heads. And we could just consider for a moment, who's been lifting? Have I been trying to lift it myself? How many today want to make a decision to let the Lord lift? Let's just raise our hands if we want the Lord to lift. Lift for us, Lord. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our sin. We ask you for forgiveness from our sins. We recognize, God, that you are the way out. You're the way up. We trust you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you stand with me as we sing?